الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praises due to Allah, and we send the peace and the blessings, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention of His Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his companions and all those who follow them on a righteous path until the day of judgment. For those of you who are coming here for the first time, we have been dealing with the book of Al-Aqidatul Wasitiyya li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Basically, as we all know, the Tawheed has been divided into three categories. Of course, that initial division did not exist in the early times of Muslims, because everybody was okay. There was no deviation in terms of understanding. Everybody accepted things as they were. As the Muslims started spreading across the earth and mixing with the different people, you know, people who embraced Islam and retained some of their old beliefs or included them in their understanding of Islam, many new concepts were produced, where the scholars had to lay down some foundations in which we refer to understand what the Prophet ﷺ was teaching during his time, and his companions and the four a'imma and others, the scholars that are famous, which all agreed to these things. Basically, it's all dealing with the category of Tawheed, which is Al-Asma' wa-Sifat, the names and attributes of Allah. How do we understand them? Are they only names without the actual quality, as some Muslims believe? So they say you cannot say that Allah, can hear. You know, He just has the name Sami', but the actual quality of hearing, you cannot attribute it to Allah. Because according to them, if you do so, then you are making Allah like His creation. Okay? So they try to avoid this concept here, resembling Allah to His creation. They wind up falling into that, because you would only do that if you, in your mind, you were thinking of Allah as His creation. Otherwise you would have no problem, and rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah. So we, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we base our understanding of the names and attributes of Allah on the statements of Allah in the Quran, such as لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like unto Him. This solves all the problems. Whatever you think of, it's not Allah. Whatever your mind wants to imagine resembling Allah to His creation, you're wrong, because Allah told you there's nothing like Allah. So we understand and we believe whatever Allah described Himself with, while knowing that we will never really understand it in the full ultimate sense in terms of how it is manifested, because we are only familiar with the creation, and there's nothing in the creation that is like Allah. So Allah is unique, and this is what قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد means. Say, Allah is the one, the unique. He's unique in His oneness, because as we mentioned before, the one, you could have one cell phone and you could have one cell phone and you could have one cell phone. There's nothing special about one anymore, especially when it's followed by two or three. But when you say, I have a unique cell phone, meaning no one has it. So Allah is not just one, because one means wahid. The verse says ahad. So it is ahad, unique, none like Allah. In every aspect, rububiyyah, no one creates but Allah, no one sustains but Allah, no one owns everything, has the ultimate sovereignty except Allah. In His worship, in terms of us worshipping Him, no one deserves worship but Allah. And the names and attributes of Allah are also unique and special to Him. So this is how we base our foundation, this is how we understand these things, because at no point in your life do you want to reject the Quran. You don't want Allah to say something in the Quran and then you come using your mind, say, no, this doesn't make any sense to me, so I don't believe in that. Or wind up giving it a different meaning than the apparent meaning without any evidence, because then we become like the Jews and the Christians. Wherever you present to them something, they say, no, this is not what is meant. What is meant is something, like a figure of speech or something. That you have to keep the things in their apparent meaning. Otherwise, you are saying that the Quran is no longer guidance. Allah says, Hudan lilmuttaqeen, guidance for the righteous, the pious. It will not be guidance if it was causing confusion. So it must be basic in this fashion. Right. This is just a minor introduction, not part of the dars, but for those who are coming for the first time, you know what we are discussing. In the last few sessions, we were discussing the quality of deviance in the belief of in Allah's names and His signs or verses. That there are a group of people who have deviated in their understanding of the names of Allah and the signs of Allah or the verses of Allah. And then the Shaykh went on to describe or break down the الشيخ سيد رحمه الله: وآيات الله عز وجل تنقسم إلى قسمين، آيات كونية وآيات شرعية. The آيات، I will use the word آيات because it has a number of meanings and based on the context we will use it accordingly. The آيات of Allah عز وجل are divided into two categories. They are the آيات الكونية, universal signs, if you want to use signs because this is more relevant to signs now. آيات meaning a sign or a proof or something along these lines. وآيات شرعية and legal verses. Or again signs, but more accurately, ayah here means the plural of what ayah is verses. So this is the two categories of what is intended by ayat. Now the Shaykh will go on to break it down using the textual evidences. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, فَالْآيَاتُ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْخَلْقِ وَالتَّكْوِينِ مِثَالُ ذَلِكَ قَوْلِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من تراب أن خلقكم من تراب ثم إذا أنتم بشر تنتشرون. The Shaykh said, the universal signs are those which are related to the creation and the formation of the things, whatever the creation period, such as the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and among His ayat, which here means signs, okay, and among His ayat or signs is the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, in Surah Fussilat, verse 37. In Surah Ar-Rum, verse 20, Allah Azza wa Jal again says interpretation of the meaning in English, and among his signs is that He created you from dust, then you became humans spreading upon earth, tantashirun spreading, and you know, dispersing, that's more accurate. Tayyib. Likewise, other verses that prove the same meaning. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ ومن آياته يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينزل من السماء ماء فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون ومن آياته أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره ثم إذا دعاكم دعوة من الأرض إذا أنتم تخرجون. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. وعليكم السلام. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. The Shaykh continued to quote the verses from the Quran which say, and among the signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the variation in your tongues and your color, skin color. We speak different languages, have different skin color. This is among the signs of Allah. Some non-Muslims misunderstand this, and they try to use it as evidence for coming from, you know, apes and what have you. In reality, this is devious in understanding. Rather, this is a sign of the greatness of Allah, that we all came from Adam and Eve, okay, who must have had one skin color and one language. Now upon earth, we have people everywhere with all various colors coming from the same source. This is from the amazing creation of Allah, and we are all equal in the sight of Allah. But the thing that makes us better is what? Taqwa, piety. Not the skin color, and not the tongue that we speak, and not the ethnicity. It is how much do we fear Allah. You could be a Qurayshi from the tribe where the Prophet ﷺ came and be a kafir, you're going straight to the hellfire forever. And you could be from anywhere else and be a believer, you are in the sight of Allah honored. So this is the criteria here. So among the signs is the variation, excuse me, in your tongues and in your skin color. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Verily, and these are signs for the people, for the world. وَمِن وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and among the signs is your sleep during the night and the day, and you seeking from His bounty. Verily, in these are signs for people who listen. And among the signs is that He shows you the thunder out of fear and hope and rain. And Allah sends down from the heavens water in which He revives the earth after its death. Verily, in that are signs for people who understand. And among the signs that the heavens and the earth resurrect by His command. Then if He calls you once from the earth, all of a sudden you'll all be resurrected. These are all chapter Ar-Rum, verses 22 and 20 up to 25. The Shaykh Ra'ala says, فَهَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ كَوْنِيَّةِ وَإِنْ شِئْتْ فَقُلْ قَوْنِيَّةِ قَدَرِيَّةِ وَكَانَتْ آيَةً لِلَّهِ لأنه لا يستطيع الخلق أن يفعلوها. He says these are called universal signs, and if you wish, you may call it signs universal and qadariyah related to ability or decree, whichever one is intended. And it was called a sign of Allah because none of the creation is able to do it. None of the creation is able to do it, so it's a special sign to Allah. فَمَثَلًا لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. No one will be able to create like the sun and the moon, realistically speaking. I mean, the best we could do is a flashlight, maybe a lamp, and that's as good as it gets for the son of Adam. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِاللَّيْلِ إِذَا جَاءَ النَّهَارِ. And no one can make the night comes if Allah causes the day to come. وَلَا بِالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَاءَ اللَّيْلِ. And no one can make the night come if the day comes. These are all universal signs. Okay, we just submit. Now this, everyone is a slave of Allah. This is why everyone is considered Abdullah. And Allah says that there is nothing except that is a slave of Allah. In this fashion, in this sense, no one can go beyond the dominion and the decree of Allah. So you are a slave, each human being, whether a Muslim or non-Muslim, he's a slave whether he likes it or not. You are outside the slavery if you are able to create on your own, have your own life, your own world, and be independent from that of Allah's. Once you are under Allah's creation, you are a servant of Allah, willingly or unwillingly. The Muslims have the servitude of that and the servitude of willingly submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His loyal servants. طيب. والإلحاد فيها أن ينسبها إلى غير الله استقلالا أو مشاركة أو إعانة. Deviating in this understanding of the universal signs of Allah is if someone attributes this to other than Allah completely, or in terms of partnership or assistance. Okay, one of these three. Either someone says that it's not Allah who does all this, or Allah and another with him, okay, or these are assisting Allah, meaning Allah is in need of their assistance, because we know there are angels who have been given duties and they do things by the will of Allah, but not because Allah is in need of them. Okay, Allah is the one who keeps them alive and functioning, so everything is in need of Allah. No one Allah is in no need of no one, is in no need of anyone, that's more accurate. Anywho, so basically the people may deviate in this fashion. Either they say this thing created it on its own, is doing the whole thing, or partnership or assistance. هذا من الولي الفلاني أو من النبي الفلاني. So some among the Muslims, may Allah rectify our condition, who say this is because of this wali, this so saint, if you may say, this dead person in the grave that the people go and give them gifts and presents and take some money, and they sit there, you know, supplicating to him, my son is, you know, his leg is you know, broken, please heal him. Or some who go to the Masjid al-Nabawi and they find a corner near the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they pretend that they're supplicating to Allah and they're supplicating to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, this is the thing that will throw you way out of Islam, because Islam came to take this concept out. Okay, the Quraishi believed that Allah was the creator of the heavens and the earth. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا يَكُونُنَّ اللَّهِ. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will tell you Allah. But their problem was putting aside these mediators with Allah. They insisted that these statues that they were worshipping will intercede on their behalf with Allah. This made them non-Muslims. And they were fought against. And they were, you know, considered disbelievers. And they died in this fashion, those among them who died in this fashion. Why? Because of this very concept that you will dedicate any kind of worship to other than Allah. Even if you confirm that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, which is the rububiyyah. The lordship of Allah is confirmed, but the uluhiyyah is denied. So this takes someone outside of Islam. Some people say that this thing happened because of this wali. Okay? He caused this thing to be late. My son was about to be ran over by a car. And then this wali who I've been, you know, connecting with for years, he made the car maneuver to the right, and my son was saved. Although this is only Allah Azza wa Jal, only Allah can do that. But, or they say, أَوْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ الْفُلَانِ, or from such prophet. And this is very common among the Christians, Catholic Christians in particular, and saints. They have Saint Christopher and Saint Peter and Saint, for everything they have a saint, which they supplicate to, for that particular thing. Like Saint Christopher, supposedly the saint of travel. Okay, they used to call unto him before they travel for safety and their well-being during their travel. Now, ironically and funny enough, a few years back, one of the popes made a declaration that Saint Christopher was fictitious. They made some historical study to find that he was just the imagination of people. He didn't really exist. So he said, no more Saint Christopher. Take him out of the list. So all these years the people are calling on to a saint that doesn't even exist. Okay, this shows you what happens when you don't believe in Allah and you depend on His creation. Alhamdulillah for Islam. طيب. Or they say that this such wali أو شارك فيه النبي الفلاني أو الولي الفلاني أو أعان الله فيه. Or they say that such a wali saint assisted Allah or was in partners with Allah in this thing, or such nabi and what have you. قال الله تعالى قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله عفوا لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, interpretation of the meaning in English, say, يعني O Muhammad to the people, call on to those who you have claimed as gods besides Allah. They do not possess the weight of a grain, not even a grain, in the heavens or in the earth, and they have absolutely no partnership in them. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not have any assistance among them. None of them assist Allah in any way, shape or form. And this is what Allahu Samad means. Okay, the absolute which all the creation depends on, and He Himself is not depending on no one. Okay, that's what this is when, if you ever explaining to a non-Muslim that Ikhlas, which we should familiarize ourselves with the meaning of Surah Al-Ikhlas, this is one of the meanings of the Samad. That everything is depending on Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal needs no one to depend on. This was Surah Al-Saba, verse 22. طيب فنفي كل شيء يتعلق به المشركون بكون معبوداتهم لا تملك شيئا في السماوات والأرض استقلالا أو مشاركة ولا معينة لله عز وجل. So basically in denying that, this denies all of that which the disbelievers are attached to in their objects of worship, who do not possess anything in the heavens or on the earth, nor not independently or even in the form of partnership or even assisting Allah Azza wa Jalla in any of that. Then ثم جاء بالرابع, then Allah says ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. Then finally, which is their main focus here, intercession, that these objects of worship will intercede with Allah on our behalf, because you know this concept that I'm a, you know, a low life, you know, horrible, bad human being, I'm full of sins, and God is almighty and, you know, powerful, and He's, you know, He cannot be around sins. This is all Christian concepts, because these are the most common encounters you will have. So I cannot go to God with my filthy self. I go through someone who already has a good relationship with God, and he will go and do things on my behalf. You know what we call here as wasta. And now you go to Jawazat. If maybe, you know, you're from a particular country, a particular place, ma'a salama. You go with a Saudi man, things get done in 5 minutes. This is, now, if a person thinks in the same concept, then he is resembling Allah to His creation. Because this is how humans work. You go through someone to get to someone. If you think that you're going to go through someone to get to Allah, then you have made Allah like His creation. You see? So you fell into, this is why it doesn't work that way. Specifically when Allah revealed all the revelations commanding the human being specifically not to do that. Okay, He told you from the beginning, if you need anything, you just come to Me. Don't go to no one else. But you insist, you want to go through someone else. How are you going to be successful? If your boss told you at work, Ya akhi, I like you. Okay, you are my favorite employee. If you need anything, you come talk to Me. You want a vacation? You come talk to Me. You want a raise? You come talk to Me. I hate it if you go through some other guy. Don't go through no one else. I promise you, you come to Me, I will give you whatever you need. He made it clear. So you leave this office. A few days later, you like to take a day off. So you go and tell one of the guys, hey, can you go tell the boss that I need to take a day off? So the guy comes and says, you know, Ahmed wants to take, he said, this Ahmed man, عجيب. I told him specifically that not to go through anyone to come to me. He insists, no day off. You're gonna work extra hours, and I'm putting you, I'm decreasing your salary, and you're being degraded. Actually, you're fired. Get out of here, right? And no one will blame him. No one will come tell the boss, hey, what did you do? Say, this guy must be a cuckoo, man. I tell him to do this. He's, yani, I don't understand what better than privilege. I'm telling you, come straight to me. I will give you what you want, and you still want to go through other people. So if you think about it in this context, it makes plenty of sense that the people have been commanded to go through Allah directly, and they insist on going through some other people in between. They deserve the hellfire. You know, this is someone who's earning it because you're just not using your mind, which Allah Azza wa Jalla had gave you. Anyways, had given you. طيب, لما كان المشركون, so, no intercession will benefit with him, with Allah, except the one whom he allows, the one whom he gives permission to. Who are these? The righteous people of Allah. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for his ummah. This intercession, which is on the day of judgment, not today, is specific first for the day of judgment. Secondly, it's for those who followed the sunnah. So if you followed the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you had some shortcomings, he may intercede on your behalf on the day of judgment, where Allah will pardon you for some of your shortcomings and allow you to Jannah. This is then. Today, no such thing. In this life, no such thing. So that's why Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِّنَ لَهُ. On the day of judgment, some will be given the permission to intercede. But this is then, not today. Today it's shirk. طيب. لَمَّا كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ قَدْ يَقُولُونَ نَعْمْ هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَامُ لَا تَمْلِكُ وَلَا تُشَارِكُ وَلَمْ تُعَاوِنْ لكنها شفعاء قال ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. He says, when the disbelievers, some of them may say, yes, you're right, these statues, the idols that we are worshipping, they really do not own anything, neither do they assist Allah, or they're not partners with Him, but they are intercessors. So Allah said in the end of these number of verses, He concluded this particular these verses with this one, that the intercession will not benefit anyone with Allah except those whom He has given permission. فَقَطَعَ كُلَّ سَبَبٍ يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal cut off every kind of link that the disbelievers are trying to keep attached to. That we will continue to use these idols for this thing, or for that thing, or for that thing. Anything that they have, Allah Azza wa Jal cut them all off. So no one will have an excuse that they need to go through anyone in order to get to the pleasure of Allah and to worship Him. طيب. This was the universal signs. Al-ayat al-kawniya. Okay, al-ayat al-kawniya. The universal signs. The term ayat is used, it has many meanings. Among them is signs. Another one is verses. Al-qism al-thani min al-ayat, al-ayat al-shar'iyya. The second category is the legal signs or verses, depending on the context. Okay, but the legal, what does that mean? We will see. The shar'a yani. وَهِيَ مَا جَاءَتْ بِهِ الرُّسُلُ مِنَ الْوَحِيِ. It is whatever the messengers have brought as revelation. Okay, this is the legal signs of Allah. وَهُوَ كَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. كَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. Like this glorious or majestic Qur'an. هُوَ آيَةٌ. It is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 252, interpretation of the meaning. These are the signs or verses of Allah we recite upon you in truth, and verily you are among the messengers. Allah says in another occasion, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. طيب. In another occasion, Allah Azza wa Jal says interpretation of the meaning, and they say, had only some signs had been sent down from His Lord to him. And these are what they call ayatul iqtirah. These are the signs that the disbelievers suggest, as they told the Prophet ﷺ, bring a book from the heavens we could touch. Let us see how you could make rivers explode from the earth. Why don't you have angels assisting you in your affair? How come you are walking in the market eating and drinking like, you know, all these objections that the disbelievers would always have. They want something according to them that will make them believe. But as Allah told us, this is not going to benefit. Because once these signs come and they disbelieve, destruction is going to come upon them. And you just look at the, all the prophets and messengers with their Lord, يعني with their, how they went back or corresponded with their prophet, like the naqa, the camel, which Allah Azza wa Jal made go for these people. Look, a sign from Allah, don't kill it. They went and slaughtered it, subhanallah. Then the punishment fell upon them. One day you suggest something and they don't believe, then the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal comes about. So they said, how come no signs come down from his Lord to him, like angels or something of their suggestion? Then Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, verily the signs are with Allah, and all I am is a clear warner. I just bring you warning. It's not up to me to bring you the sign according to your suggestion. It's under the will of Allah. All I can do is convey the message of Allah. He gives me this sign, I deliver it to you. If not, then the affair is with Allah. That's what Allah commanded him to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah then continued with the next verse saying, is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down the book that is being recited upon them? So he made this book equal to the signs, rather better. Is it not enough that you have this Quran? Where is it here? This Quran with you. This is better than any other sign that may come and go. Okay, they seen the moon split. They said, "Suhirat absaruna." Our visions became magic. Magic affected us. So they denied seeing the moon split. And this was temporary. It's over now. Can we claim, can we prove it right now besides our iman? Can you prove to someone? Unless now they go to the moon and they find the line. We're saying before that. But the Quran is a living sign. That's why it precedes all the other signs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the number one on the list. His miracle was the Quran. The sign that Allah gave him is the Quran. The other things were limited to time and place. You either saw them or you didn't. But if you want his eternal miracle or sign, it's within our hands until the day of judgment. Until Allah Azza wa Jal raises the Quran back to himself and the people will no longer live according to it. طيب. So this is, so the Shaykh said, فَجَعَلَهُ آيَات. So Allah made the Quran as signs. Although this is legal, because the Quran is a legal sign, other than not universal as the other one. طيب. Now the Shaykh says, وَيَكُونُ الْإِلْحَادُ فِيهَا إما بتكذيبها أو تحريفها أو مخالفتها. الحاد, which we said can roughly be translated as deviance, people deviating in their understanding pertaining to the legal signs of Allah, is by either takdib, belying them. Okay, they say no such thing, this is not from Allah. Okay, أو تحريفها, or distorting it, they distort the meaning. أو مخالفتها, or opposing them. Okay, one of these three ways, people wind up deviating in terms of the legal signs of Allah. Either denial, complete, belying it, or distortion of the meaning. No, what is intended is not that. This is what is intended, not that. And so forth, without any evidence. Or they just oppose it. They know this is the truth, but they go against it by not living in accordance to it. And we mentioned this in the khutbah yesterday. فَتَكْذِيبِهَا أَنْ يَقُولْ لَيْسَتْ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيُكَذِّبُ بِهَا أَصْلًا. Belying it is for someone to say, this is not from Allah, as any non-Muslim today. Because if they believe the Quran is from Allah, case closed. Because in the Quran it tells you what to believe about Jesus and Mary and everything else that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created. And of course you cannot believe in the Quran unless you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brought the Quran. So if they believed in the Quran, it's done. So any non-Muslim doesn't believe in the signs of Allah and the verses of Allah. They belie the Quran. أو يكذب بما جاء فيها من الخبر مع تصديقه بالأصل. Or another form of lying or belying it is by believing in some of the news that it contains, by denying some of the news while believing in the essence of it. So they say that we believe that the Quran is from Allah as a revelation, but there may be some things there that are not accurate. Who believe that? The Shia. The Shia believe that the Quran is distorted, just like the Bible, that this is not the authentic version. Okay, يعني if you believe that, you're done. Your Islam is washed away. Okay, we don't make that declaration against a particular person, but it's known that the scholars, if you deny the Quran, you're no longer a Muslim. to say that the Quran is distorted, you are belying the statement of Allah, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have sent down the remembrance to Quran and we are protectors of it. So when you say that it's been changed, meaning Allah did not say the truth in the Quran, you're gone. You're on vacation. You may come back, you may never come back. Many of them never come back. The Shia have been on vacation from day one, أعوذ بالله. Anyways, be careful of them, because nowadays they're spreading abundantly and they're propagating their deviance, and they're starting to take effect in various places among the Muslim world. Even in the Philippines, they catch a new Muslim and they try to bring him into Shiism. So we need to be mindful of these people, not to really think, as some so-called moderate Muslims say, we're all Muslims. Don't be making no division. You telling me that someone who curses Abu Bakr and Umar and says that they are kuffar, you're going to be okay, cool with him? Someone who says that Aisha was committing, a'udhu billah, you know, what cannot be attributed to the mother of the believers and the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, you okay with him? Someone who says that his imam is infallible, does not make mistakes. The 12 a'imma among the Shia, because they have different denominations, the most common one is the Ithna Ashariya, which is the 12 imams. They believe these imams are ultimately pure, so much so that they were not born from their mother's private parts, because that's impure. They were born from the thigh. Yes, this is in their books, Habibi. These people had never committed any mistake in their whole lives, besides knowing the past, the present, and the future. Okay? And to them, they are better than the prophets. They make them better than all of the other prophets. Okay. This is what they believe. This is what we believe about Allah. No one is infallible who never makes a mistake but Allah. No one is ultimately pure in this sense but Allah. Even the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came from where the regular human being comes from. But to them, their imams did not. So, and of course, besides believing that Jibreel made a mistake, he was supposed to come to Ali and bring the revelation. He went to Muhammad ﷺ. For 23 years, he's making the same error. No correction was made by Allah. This is just all kufr. This is all kufr. All these are qualities and characteristics of disbelief. Even worse than the Jews and the Christians very often, who may not even go to this extent. So these are the Shia. And they have something called taqiyya, which is protection. In the presence of Ahl Sunnah, they are with miya miya. They go right in harmony with you. In their private gatherings, where all these are exposed. So don't be fooled by the hype. And one of them says, if you don't practice taqiyya, you're not a Shia. You must practice this kind of form of, which is deceit, basically. They deceive the people. Hey, of course it's a form of hypocrisy. When he's with you, he will not say anything about how he feels. When he's with his own people, things come out. And there's tapes and books written about this. This is all known. But nowadays, many Muslims are not aware of that. They say Hezbollah in Lebanon fighting the Jews. They say, Allahu Akbar, these are the Muslims. Hold on a second, man. You don't know who these are. The Shia were initiated by Abdullah ibn Sabah, the hypocrite Jew. The Jews are the one who started the Shiaism. He was a hypocrite who pretended to be a Muslim. He wanted to destroy Islam from within, as Paul destroyed Christianity from within. He was also a Jew. His name was Saul, who pretended to convert to Christianity, claimed that he received revelation from Jesus, or seen Jesus, and he came with brand new teachings. And they did the same thing in Islam. So be careful who these people are. Okay? And no, but a Jew, again a Jew. A hypocrite Jew made Christianity go off, and a hypocrite Jew entered into Islam and created this concept of Shiaism and magnifying Ali and making him equal to Allah, and then the A'imma who came from him, his children Hassan, Hussein, and Ja'far, and they go down with the whole thing. It's a long story. This I'm just giving you so you will have an idea about all these things here, because these are facts. Tayyib. So anyway, some of them belie some of the news, but they believe in the essence. فيقول مثلا قصة أصحاب الكهف ليست صحيحة وقصة أصحاب الفيل ليست صحيحة والله لم يرسل عليهم يرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل. So some will say the story of the people of the cave is not really true, and the story of the people of the elephant, أصحاب الفيل, is not really true. Allah did not send upon them birds, you know, who were throwing at them the, you know, the stones. So they believe in the Quran, But some of the stories, they say this is just, you know, this for entertainment, storytelling kind of thing. أعوذ بالله. We ask Allah the protection from deviance. وأما التحريف, as for distorting the meaning, فهو تغيير لفظها. It is in a number of ways. Either changing the actual wording, the actual terminology. أو صرف معناها عما أو صرف معناها عما أراد الله بها ورسوله. Or to give a meaning other than that which was intended by Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. مثل أن يقول استوى على العرش أي استولى. Like some of them say regarding this verse, استوى على العرش. Excuse me. Allah rose above His throne. Okay. Now this is a big discussion among the Muslims in this day and time, because it's very common to ask the Muslim, where is Allah? He would tell you Allah is everywhere. Okay. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, if someone makes this particular claim, he's a kafir. If someone claims that Allah is not above the heavens, above His throne, he is not a believer. So we'll find many people who follow Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Malik rahimahullah in their fiqh and understanding of some aspects of ibadah, but their belief system is totally foreign to them, and they don't know that they were of this particular position. So Allah is not everywhere, because as soon as you say that Allah is everywhere, then you have automatically included Allah in every filthy place, and every bathroom, and every... Otherwise you have to make exceptions. Allah is everywhere except the bar, and the bathroom, and the trash, and... Where are you going to get this particular statement from? You are able to do so. Plus we know that Allah is nur. Allah illuminates, has the light. Why do we have darkness? If Allah was everywhere, everything would be lit. When Musa wanted to see Allah in the Quran, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ in Surah Al-A'raf, he said, my Lord, allow me to look at you. Allah says, لَن تَرَانِي, you will not see me, وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ, but look at the mountain. فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي, if the mountain remains stable, you will be able to see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. So when His Lord, Allah, revealed a part of His majesty to the mountain crushed and Moses passed out. Had Allah been everywhere, there would be no point in Allah exposing some of His majesty to the mountain to be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed already. You see, these are all the arguments that Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah presented from the Quran to prove to the people that it is impossible to say that Allah is everywhere, particularly when He said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, Allah rose above His throne. Yes, Allah knows everything. Nothing escapes Him. He hears everything. He sees everything. His knowledge encompasses everything. But Allah Azza wa Jal is above His creation. How? Don't ask how. Because there's nothing like Allah. There's absolutely nothing like Allah. In a way that befits His majesty. This is what we take. This is what we believe. This is the only thing that will... What the Prophet ﷺ was upon, his companions and the early generations of Muslims before philosophy was introduced into the Islamic concepts and people started bringing pagan belief of the oneness of the creation with the Creator, and everything you see is a reflection of God and this and that, and you know, Sufism in modern days, which is what most of the Sufism is really acquired from, these particular philosophical understandings of God and the creation and what have you. So this is all nonsense. So they say استوى على العرش, what means استولى, he overcame. Okay, overcame, as after a competition or a battle, you overcome something, you're victorious, you take, you know, you claim it. And this particular meaning is incorrect. To say the word استوى, which means to rise above, استوى على, particularly استوى على means to rise above, to say that it means استولى, to overcome, is changing the apparent meaning of the Quran without an evidence. And if Allah overcame the throne, who did He overcome it from? That you're indicating that there must have been some sort of issues before the throne became the belonging of Allah. So you're giving a meaning that is totally false, and you're denying the apparent meaning of the Quran, and you have absolutely no evidence. But why would someone do that? Because they continue to think of Allah as a human being. They think of a big man, as the Christians have the concept that God is an old man with a big beard, topless, muscular, okay? standing, giving his finger to Adam, giving him the life from a finger to a finger. Crazy concept. Okay, which is what Leonardo DiCaprio, whoever one of these losers, Da Vinci, or one of these guys drew this particular image. Anywho, some people think of Allah Azza wa Jal in this fashion. So when you think like that, of course you're going to have a problem. What do you mean that God rose above His throne? What do you mean that Allah... If you're thinking of a man climbing up some stairs, you're going to have a problem, ya akhi. And you are going against the commandments of Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing equal to Allah. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like Allah. If there's nothing like Him, there's no point in you having any imagination. And we've struck this example before. If I have a brand new item, there's nothing like it. Okay, it's in my pocket. You will never be able to imagine what this thing is. Because I cannot give you any similarity between this object in my pocket and something you've seen before. It's the first time they ever invented. You tell me, is it a cell phone? No. Does it look like a pen? No, no. Is it like this? No. Is it a paper clip? No. Ya akhi, what do you have in your pocket? I don't know. There's nothing like it, man. You may create an image, 99.99% you're going to be wrong. Even if I give you new descriptions of it, you're not going to know. You're going to imagine something, then I say you're going to be like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Okay? Because why? Your mind doesn't have an image in which you could build upon. This is what is intended by laysa kamithlihi shay. When I say this hand is like this hand, you know, or this and like that, this new cell phone looks like the Nokia, like N95. So your mind, okay, takes this Nokia N95, put it in your brain. Say, but it has a bigger screen. So you start imagining a similar cell phone with a bigger screen. The buttons are gray, so you think of gray buttons, okay? It has this, why? Because you have an image, pre-existing image, which you are building this new image upon. If there's no such image, you're never going to be able to get there. The best you will do is imagine, which will be not according with the truth. So there's nothing like Allah, don't bother. Don't bother sitting there trying to think of anything that exists in this being. Or anything that your mind can possibly imagine, it is not Allah. And Allah is not like that. When you have this understanding ingrained in your brain, you will have no problem understanding every verse in the Quran which Allah described Himself in a certain way, while knowing that there's nothing like Allah. Okay, this is the whole thing. That it's the whole thing is built upon that particular thing. Right.
What about the action for the after God created heaven and earth, then hey, he go to His throne.
Yes.
He said they are giving some wrong meaning to this. Try to explain something about
it. Me? Like some people have give a wrong meaning of that?
Yes. That be wrong that if somebody say he takes over the throne. But I think they say he goes to His throne.
The word means istawa. Okay. Istawa has a number of meanings depending on the context and what precedes it or what comes after it. So if you say istawa, it could mean to reach the age of perfection. Whenever it is followed by ala, istawa ala means rise above. That means in the Arabic language, rise above. And Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We have made it in Arabic Quran, perhaps you may understand. Yani in the language of the eloquent Arabs, this Quran was revealed at their time. So they will know exactly what is intended. Everybody knew. Istawa ala means rise above. That's exactly what it means in the language. Rise above the throne. Where do we stop? We believe in that. Where do we stop is in the kayfiyya. How? Allahu a'lam. A person came to Imam Malik and said, كَيْفَ اسْتَوَى الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. How did the Most Merciful rise above His throne? He put his head down and sweat started to form on his forehead. From the severity of this question, then he raised his head, he said, الْإِسْتِوَاءُ مَعْلُومٌ. The word istiwa is known to the Arabs, what it means. وَالْكَيْفُ مَجْهُولٌ. But how is unknown. والإيمان به واجب, and you believing in that is compulsory upon you. والسؤال عنه بدعة, and asking about that is an innovation, and I see you as nothing but an innovator. And he was commanded that this person is thrown out of the masjid. Because he came to destroy the thinking of people. The companions, who were the most knowledgeable of people, had among them the most knowledgeable, ultimately, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse was revealed in 7 different occasions in the Quran, Allah rising above His throne. If there was something specific or special about it, the most keen people on learning would have asked the one who knows the most. What does that mean? The fact that this particular conversation never went on between them indicates that they accepted the thing as it was, and they had adab. They had a certain respect with Allah. They wouldn't speak about these things out of the honor and the love and the way the hearts magnified Allah. They wouldn't dare to think of a creation of Allah when they think of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this particular conversation never occurred between them. So this is what you say to anyone who asks this question. If someone who was more knowledgeable than me was present, and people who wanted to learn better than you were present, and they never had this conversation, why am I, me and you having it? Why are we having it? It's an innovation. Don't ask how, because there's nothing like Allah. And the only way you know how something happened, if you have seen it before, you know how it happens if you've seen it before, or someone gives you accurate information. I tell you how the car moves. The engine goes like this, and then the wheels go like this, and it moves. Maybe you've never seen a car, but hey, someone gave you an idea, so you can imagine. But if no one has ever, there's no such thing, no one has ever seen it, and there's nothing like it, you will never know how. Likewise with Allah. No one has ever seen Allah, okay, in this life. Allah, the believers will see Him in the Day of Judgment, Azza wa Jal. And there's nothing like Allah. So how are you going to know how? You can't. So you don't ask about that. And if Allah Azza wa Jal, if this was relevant to our Iman, it would have been in the Quran. If we needed this to be ultimate believers, if this was going to benefit us in any way, shape or form, Allah would not leave it out of the Quran. The fact that Allah left it out is for a wisdom. And we need to stop where Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us to stop. وَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. Do not strike the similitudes and examples to Allah. Okay, we just hold back and we remain obedient to whatever has been revealed to us. We don't transgress. Because once you transgress, you're going to be, you're going to lose. طيب. Or they say that Allah Azza wa Jal, they say that Allah Azza wa Jal, what is intended that Allah descends to the lower seven, meaning His command descends to the lower seven. And a number of other violations and things that they wind up rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah with their own distortion of the meaning. طيب. So this is, we dealt with two. Belying it, either totally or partially by believing in the whole thing but denying some stories, or belying the whole thing such as the disbelievers. Then we dealt with the second category, which is distorting the actual meaning, as we just struck some examples, as the Shaykh did. Thirdly, مخالفتها, opposing it. فبترك الأوامر أو فعل النواهي, by leaving the obligations and committing the prohibitions. Okay? Violating the prohibitions. This is how you...
Opposing is like denial.
Not really, because you're not denying it, you're just not implementing it. Mukhalafa, even when you are driving, they give you, mukhalafa, it's a violation. Okay, so whenever you're violating a commandment that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, or you are committing a prohibition that Allah has prohibited, then you are doing mukhalafa, violation, okay? Are opposing the verse of the Quran, going against. Now, number of synonyms may be used, whatever you think is more befitting. And I'm just using some terms, it doesn't mean they are the only good terms. قال الله تعالى في المسجد الحرام ومن يرد فيه بإلحاد بظلم نذقه من عذاب أليم فكل المعاصي إلحاد في الآيات الشرعية. Allah Azza wa Jal says, interpretation of the meaning pertaining to the Masjid al-Haram, and whomever intends إلحاد, okay, by oppressing, we will make him taste a severe punishment. So Allah Azza wa Jal called ma'asi, sins, ilhad. He says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ, meaning in the Masjid al-Haram, whomever wants in it, in the Masjid al-Haram, بِإِلْحَاد, بِظُلْم, meaning oppressing, sins, sins by oppressing, committing sins when you, because why is sin oppression? Because you're oppressing yourselves and you're oppressing the Muslims. Because whenever we all sin, the calamities fall on everybody. So whenever we sin, we are doing damages and oppression to our own selves and then to the community, to the whole Muslim community all over the world. Because the more we are all sinful, the more we will lose the barakah and the blessings from Allah, the more calamities will befall upon us. So the sin goes beyond the individual damage. It actually goes beyond to damage other people. So anyway, Allah Azza wa Jal called the ma'asi a form of ilhad. لأنه خروج بها عما يجب لها. Because it is going away from what is expected and what is compulsory, which is what we said, ilhad meaning deviance, a form of deviance. إذ الواجب علينا أن نمتثل الأوامر وأن نجتنب النواهي. Because it is compulsory upon us to fulfill the obligations and the commandments and the commands and to refrain and stay away from the prohibitions. فَإِن لَمْ نَقُمْ بِذَلِكَ فَهَذَا الْحَادِ. Because if we do not do so, then this is a form of deviance. And the Shaykh Rahimahullah, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah will mention next, وَلَا يُكَيِّفُونَ, and they do not say, give how to the attributes of Allah. The Matin and then the Sharh of Ibn Uthameen Rahimahullah, which we will deal with بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ next week. Unless something unexpected happens, we will conclude this particular sitting with that. Whatever I said that was correct was success given to me by Allah Azza wa Jal, and whatever I said that was wrong is an error on my behalf, and Allah Azza wa Jal is free from it. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to have this particular sitting, and we send the peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.